I recently was doing a show for one of the PBS stations. We did a painting like this, only big, great big. And then we auctioned it off for the PBS station to make a happy buck. Oh, people really liked this one when they could see it up close. It's a beautiful, beautiful painting. And we traveled all over the country doing shows for PBS stations and charity groups.
A whole lot of folks might have never laid eyes on Bob Ross without public television. He was a painter who proved cool under pressure in front of the cameras. But Bob wasn't just on TV to get famous and be awesome. He was there to teach us how to paint. If the canvas was Bob's blackboard, then public television was his classroom.
One of the things I always tell students when I'm teaching is remember that your friends, the little birds, have to have limbs out here to sit on. So when you're shaping your tree, give them a place to sit.
Tim Earnessy is the Vice President of Education for the National Educational Telecommunications Association. You got all that? We'll call it NETA for short. Tim is one of the keynote speakers at Bob Ross's 80th birthday celebration in Muncie. Let's listen in on Tim's happy little speech.
But before I do anything or share anything, I have to prove to my 22-year-old college student I'm cool. So everybody smile for a selfie, okay? Everybody say happy little fest.
Happy little fest.
Thank you. That still won't prove I'm cool, but at least I can say I was here. So.
Tim Earnessy and Bob Ross have a few things in common, besides being super cool. They're both responsible for pumping up public television's education mission. They just do it in different ways. At the event, Tim asked me to call him Ernie. He thinks his last name is too hard to pronounce. But Tim Earnessy probably likes to be associated with another popular Ernie working in public media.
Well, you know that?
Come here, Bert.
What are you doing?
I'm going to put the volume control knob on you.
I am not a radio Ernie. Now cut that out.
And Ernie, the man, not the Muppet, believes that Bob Ross and public media have one very important letter in common.
Hello there. Today, Elmo is going to show you the letter Y.
There's a reason he did this, and he did it through paintings. He shared his Y through paintings. Public media shares their Y, whether it be in community events or through television programs. Whether it be Fred Rogers and Mr. Rogers, to Daniel Tiger, the Next Generation, or Don Quixote, who's my new favorite. Does anybody else understand Don Quixote? Don Quixote, come on. We're chasing windmills here, people. But thanks to you, we can continue to chase windmills because we know our why.
Before his job with NETA, Ernie's why brought him to a where? PBS station WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
WGVU Channel 35 and WGVK Channel 52 are non-commercial, viewer-supported public television stations serving West Michigan.
Just about a decade ago, Ernie was interviewing a fella to be WGVU's webmaster. Ernie asks him, "Why do you want to work in public media?"
And he looked at me and he said, "I'll share with you why. When I was about 12 years old, my family went on vacation, and he said, I got sick while I was there. And my mom made me stay in bed for the entire week while they were out partying and having fun on the beach. And she turned on PBS. And she turned on this crazy little painter named Bob Ross."
Okay, maybe there lives. Let's get crazy. Maybe right up here. Gotta make a little noise so it don't work. Maybe there's a big old thing. Comes right down like that, right in front of this one.
And he looked at me and said, "You know, it was so cool." And at that age, I thought it was stupid, but it was cool. And I told my mom by the end of the week, I want to be a painter like him.
And I had a man come to me and he said, "Bob, I can never paint because I'm colorblind. All I can see is gray tones." So I thought today we'd do a picture in gray just to show you that anyone can paint.
And he said, "Well, I don't want to work here because I'm a painter now. I have a graphic design. I have my own business. But I want to give to the future generations what Bob gave to me."
All you need is a little bit of practice, an idea in your mind, and off you go.
So did this young fella's love of Bob Ross, did his why get him the job? Let's ask him.
My name is Vance W. Orr. I work at WGVU Public Media in West Michigan. I am promotions, marketing, webmaster, and quasi-art director. I oversee everything, but it's more than that. I do a lot of the actual production work, too.
Vance Orr was into art and public television well before he sat down with Ernie for that job interview. He just wasn't all in on Bob Ross. Yet.
My mom worked at WGVU. She had a cooking show. So I was aware who Bob Ross was. You know, I would see promotional stuff around from him. I would see him on TV every once in a while, but it was rarely something I ever watched.
Sometimes when we're doing TV, we paint a little bit brighter than normal, just so it shows up a little better. When you do your painting, you make that big decision. How do you want it to be?
I was on vacation with my family, and I got sick. And my family being my family, they weren't going to stop doing any of the fun stuff that they wanted to do. I was just kind of left in this like cabana by myself, sitting on a pleather sofa with bad sunburn and a bad cough and pretty stuffy with nothing to do. And the PBS station down there had a Bob Ross marathon going on.
Hi, I'm glad to see you today. Glad you could join me.
12-year-old Vance Orr, under the weather and alone in a sad little cabana, had found a happy new friend. And even though he didn't have any paint, he still wanted to play.
I found my mom's notebook, and I very much did the, I'm going to make these drawings with pen. So I sat on the couch, you know, making my mountains. I'm trying to emulate the way that he's using the palette knife and stuff only with a pen. I'll be honest, it didn't really work that well. But what I really got into was, you know, the composition. And learning a lot of the basics of art that I carried all the way through college, where I got a BFA in oil painting, landscape oil painting.
Put them together and you make your own composition, and it's new and it's original and it's wonderful. I just want to show you how to make these things. What you make is totally up to you, totally and completely.
It was kind of a turning point in the idea that it took me from being somebody who appreciated art into somebody who thought that they could make art. And eventually it became so ingrained in me that I realized art was not something that I did. It wasn't. Art was now a byproduct of who I was and how I lived my life.
Because as artists, we can do anything. People expect us to be a little different. They expect it. Don't let them down.
There was no not making it after that point. It was just part of my identity once I realized, hey, I can be an artist.
Some call it a watershed moment. Others refer to it as an awakening. Soon after Vance's Bob Ross revelation, he took action and took his newfound passion to the next level.
I mean, I loved Bob Ross so much in college that my professor would get annoyed with me. Like, he'd be like, oh, just drop it with the Bob Ross. And I'd be like, no, it's fantastic.
That black gesso is fantastic. It just opens the doors to so many avenues of creation. I like to get you excited with these things and turn you loose, and it's unreal what you can do.
I mean, I'd even be sitting in my senior studio with the door open, making noises and being like, this is a happy little donut. That was my senior focus. I did a series of donuts, so I'd be saying stuff like, it's a happy little sprinkle and shading, and I think it really grinded his gears the wrong way.
When you take your cues from Bob Ross, you don't just make trees and bushes and clouds happy. You can do donuts, too.
We're sort of expected to be a little weird, and that's okay. Painters, I think, have more fun than most people, so it's all right. Life's too short not to enjoy it.
After college, Vance starts doing design work for clients around the world. But Vance isn't in this just to make a happy buck. He wants to provide the same service that Bob had given him. He wants to create his own happy little path to inspire others. So he goes to WGVU and interviews with Tim Ernesy.
And I remember very distinctly that somebody that wanted to hang up the shingle on their business full time to come work at a public media organization because of the passion that they had and the connection they had with public media and Bob Ross, it strikes you.
Hey, isn't that something? Makes a striking little painting.
Flash forward into the job, there were absolutely things that as a station and an organization that we did or put spotlights on because of Vance and because of his passion for art. And obviously, you know, PBS is home for the arts, whether it be Bob Ross or Masterpiece or
great performances live at Lincoln Center. We got them.
Would Ernie and Vance ever have met if not for Bob Ross? Would Vance Orr be working at WGVU if not for Bob? Would he have ever picked up a paintbrush if not for that fateful sick day as a 12-year-old on a family vacation? Is Bob in the ether, or is the wind just blowing? We'll never know for sure. What we do know is that however mystical, our shared admiration for this man connects us. and that connection in all kinds of different ways elevates our ambition, our passions, sometimes our careers, sometimes even our whole lives.
When I was asked to come to the Bob Ross celebration, it's the first thing I thought about was remembering that story of a kid, because Vance shares it, but I guarantee you there's other kids out there that might be nine. There's a kid out there right now that maybe Vance is going to share this story with that is suddenly going to feel that I can be an artist.
You're only limited by your imagination. So let it go. Have fun with it. Practice. And you too can be an almighty painter.
One of the great things about when you're watching, you know, Bob Ross even today is that it's like you have a one-on-one with an instructor. There's this supportiveness throughout the whole show. And I think that's really what cultivates that whole feeling of this isn't just for people who were born with natural talent. This can be anybody's medium. This can be anybody's way to communicate.
You really don't have to agonize over paintings. You don't have to be blessed by Michelangelo at birth. You can paint. You can paint.
The joy of Bob Ross is a shared language, communicated in different mediums, on canvases, in front of public television cameras, even on podcasts. It unites us, a commonality that forges friendships and partnerships, just like Vance and Ernie's. It's a seed planted in some sap green grass in a happy little field, and it continues to spread far and wide.
He is Bob Ross. There's something so magical and charismatic about him. And I think you can see that even today. His popularity just continues to grow, and he is a cultural phenomenon for generations.
Painting, it does nothing else for you. It should make you happy. It should bring something into your life that you didn't have there before. Then it's worthwhile. Then it's good. Anything that makes you happy and doesn't hurt anybody else, it's got to be good. So I say this is a very, very simple little seascape. This is one I'd recommend when you first start. And as you work farther and farther, you can do seascapes that, my gosh, you won't even believe. But this is a good way to get started, to get a feel for it. Just to get a feel for it.
Life is a series of adventures. Some by air, some by land, some by sea. The Joy of Bob Ross podcast has given me an opportunity to drift. It not only takes me to places I've never seen, it takes me to folks I've never met.
We have so many fantastic people all over the country that are painting. They're painting scenes that they never believed possible. And maybe more interesting is their family and friends didn't believe they could ever do it.
The Bob Ross metaverse is real, and I'm traveling through it, never knowing who I'll encounter until I'm at my destination. But I never worry about it. I'm just riding the wave of joy. It's the folks telling me their Bob Ross stories that make the journey worth it, that make my job simpler. Because I'm not a painter, I'm a storyteller. In our last episode, we met Carolyn Saletto, a Bob Ross fan who became a Bob Ross certified instructor, and eventually, a Bob Ross teacher trainer.
This is my idol I need to at least go over. And I saw that he had hugged some of the students, and I walked up and I put my hand out and I said, you know, thank you so much. And he said, no, I want a hug. He hugged everybody.
We're bringing Carolyn back in this almighty episode to help our next guest reminisce about time spent with Bob Ross. Both these ladies had a special relationship with Bob, and thanks to the community of certified instructors Bob's still building, they've developed a strong friendship with each other.
Now, shoot, you know me. I think everybody needs a friend.
So let's sail this podcast due south and touch down in Vero Beach, Florida, where we'll meet a young lady who knew Bob before he was on TV, before he even had curly hair. I'm going to go get a pina colada. I'll let Bob introduce her.
And today I have a special treat for you. I have a lovely lady that comes to us out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and she's going to do a fantastic painting for you. I'd like to introduce you today to Audrey Golden, a longtime friend, and I think you'll enjoy watching her as much as I have.
Audrey Golden is also a Bob Ross teacher trainer. But she was teaching folks how to paint well before she ever met Bob. She worked out of her own little art shop in Florida.
My father helped me. He made the easels. My mom made the curtains for the front window, and it started.
It was called the Golden Art Studio. One day, at an art guild meeting, Audrey watched someone from the Bill Alexander Company paint using the wet-on-wet technique. Audrey was intrigued. She became a sponsor on one of Bill Alexander's television programs, and soon, more folks from her area were showing up to learn how to paint. Audrey was in demand. She called Bill Alexander's company and said she needed help.
They sent me Bob.
So Bob was delivered to you?
Yes. And when he walked into my studio, he said, "Well, you don't need me." He would paint and then he'd leave the classroom and go out, look at the birds and the trees and everything outside the back of my studio. He knew what he was doing way before we did.
And Bob kept finding his way back to the Golden Art Studio, often in his 23-foot motorhome.
He would sleep in the back of my studio in the parking lot.
In the motorhome.
And then go eat at Denny's or one of those places. And so occasionally we would invite him to come home and have a cooked meal at my house, but he enjoyed just being who he was. No pretenses.
By finding each other, by sharing their love of art and their joy of painting, by supporting each other, Bob and Audrey were able to reach new heights.
So Audrey, we'll turn the show over to you and I'll see you when the show's over.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Hi, and it's good to see you. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put some magic white on the canvas. I'm going to cover it 3/4 of the way.
Yep, that's Audrey Golden on season 5 of The Joy of Painting. How did Audrey wind up in that studio in Muncie, Indiana, showing us how to paint sand dunes and pelicans?
How did that come about? Did you win a lottery? Did he ask you how, you know, tell me the story of how that happened.
No, I didn't win a lottery.
Let's take you back a little further.
I always, as a child, had a pencil and paper, and I would always be drawing. I went to college to become an elementary school teacher. I took art classes, but didn't like them because the professor would walk in, say, paint, and leave. I was paying for my own college, so that didn't work for me.
We just want a light coat of pink through the middle, and you'll notice that the alizarin crimson, when it mixes with the magic white, produces a real pretty pink color.
Bob Ross developed a deep respect for Audrey. He made her part of the company's first national staff. And now here she was in Muncie, under the hot lights, and in front of the cameras.
I was very nervous, and they told me to go up to the easel, and I picked up the paintbrush, and I heard, and I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? I thought I looked okay. I'm left-handed.
I noticed that when I was watching it.
So they had all the cameras and all the lights and everything for a right-handed person. I was nervous to begin with, but I had to sit down again, wait till they changed the setup, and start again.
The name of Audrey's painting is Ocean Sunrise.
One day I woke up early in the morning, took my camera, and went out. Watch the sunrise on the beach. So that's the type of picture I'll be painting for you.
They had cards that would say 20 minutes, 15 minutes.
The countdown, right?
The countdown. So I had to either slow down at places or speed up so that I ended it when they wanted me to, which was a learning experience, really. I had never been timed before.
Audrey's guest spot on The Joy of Painting raised her profile. It helped her own studio become more successful.
People loved to come to the painting classes because they were getting a sense of satisfaction and felt good about themselves. When they went home, my father would go show everybody that he knew his painting. I never realized the impact that it did have on many people's lives. I remember one person came, he worked for the telephone company, and then he brought his whole office, and they just would have a great time on, I think it was a Thursday night, they'd all get together, and it was not only painting, but it was friendships.
And thanks to Bob, one of those special friendships that bloomed for Audrey is with Carolyn Saletto.
I want a little bit of reflection. So I'm going to pull a little pink down in here.
Thank you, Carolyn. She's my sidekick at this point. She remembers me when.
We met at the very first Bob Ross reunion in the mid-80s, I'd say. And we kept in touch and we'd see each other once in a while. But what really cemented our friendship was after Bob passed away, there was five of us that were chosen to carry on and be the next set of teacher trainers. And we all worked very closely together to make sure that the technique would stay Bob's, that, you know, we were doing everything exactly like he was doing it. We would rewatch programs and practice together. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, it was so popular that they needed two people. We had 50 people, I think, in one class in Oregon that we were teaching. And Audrey and I were paired up. We went to all these different places. So we have so many fun stories and our friendship has stayed all these years. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, she's my helper.
We have some beautiful sunrises and beautiful sunsets in Florida. And the colors in the sky, sometimes you wouldn't even believe what you see.
And I know how much Bob loved this lady because I'd be at the house visiting and he would tell me, oh, I just spoke to Audrey today. And he talked to you at least every couple of weeks.
And it was basically a friendship, but we also talked a lot about painting. He related to the fact that I did what he wanted to be done as far as teaching his method and making people happy.
It's one of the things that works the best in this method of painting is reflections. Just pull it straight down and then very lightly, three hairs and some air, just go across and it creates the illusion of water.
It was a very intense time. It was a very emotional time, but it was so rewarding. I mean, I could look at any episode at that point and tell you what the name of the episode was, how he held the knife, what he did, and then getting to repaint all of his paintings for the books that were originally for Germany, and then they made them for here also. That was amazing. I could feel him with me as I was doing all of that stuff.
One happy little path Carolyn and Audrey took to teach Bob's method was north of the border.
I lived in New York at the time, and we drove up into Canada. And getting stopped by the border people and asking, why are you in Canada? And we said, to teach classes. And they made us pull over and we got in trouble and we had to pay a permit to go.
To get a permit, yeah.
Yeah. And then teach. We finally got in there. And I just remember this was one of the first Canadian classes that had ever been taught and how excited those people were to see us. And when we used to team teach, one day Audrey would do a painting, the next day I would do a painting, and then we would do like a combination painting together. She'd paint half, I'd paint half. And just how happy, I'll never forget it, because those students were just thrilled to be touching Bob Ross. You know, the people in America had had Bob all these years and all these certified instructors, and they really didn't. He really wanted it to keep going because it did touch so many people. And here we are now all these years later, and we're still talking. He's more popular than he's ever been before. Audrey did get to go to Amsterdam.
Yes, I did teach a class in Amsterdam, and I did actually certify them in Amsterdam. And then years later, I rented a chateau in southern France and took a couple of my students, and we had a fantastic time. It was a beautiful spot. And the countryside, and we painted. And that was one of the highlights of my life.
When you get together, like the two of you getting together or anybody else from that world, you know, how often does Bob come up?
All the time. It's our bond, really.
It's in our blood. I would say now.
And we got to know each other that way. And there's not anybody else us
exactly
when we get together.
And it, to see like Doug and Eddie, when I went to Muncie for the Bob Bash, Doug and Eddie and I hadn't seen each other in a couple of years, and it's like you've never been apart because we share this bond. We all tell our different stories, and it's just constant. I don't think we hardly ever really talk about what we do in our real lives. Nobody wants to hear what I do for a credit union, you know, working in mortgage, how boring. No, it's Bob Ross. it's exciting.
We're still excited.
Still excited. And meeting all those new instructors that were at Muncie, like people that had just become instructors a few months before or a year before, and hearing their stories and talking to them. And after we had finished, we had to clean 101 sets of brushes, and we were all sitting in a circle. You know, I was wiping them down, who was cleaning off the knives, who was doing the fun, and we just talked, and all we talked about was Bob and how much he meant to us. And it's amazing how he's still bringing people together after all this time. It's humbling. It really is.
Just a little lavender as a highlight. That's some of these. Okay. And then continue with my lavender and sign my name.
It kind of changed my life as far as me feeling good about myself and doing something that a lot of people will never get to, well, now especially, will never get the chance to do.
It's amazing what he's done for my life, for Audrey's life, that we found each other. And here we're good friends all these years later. And so many of our good friends that we've lost over the years, Pat and Ellen, and, you know, you just think of all these people. It's, they'd be so proud. It's an incredible feeling to know that we're part of this and that we can still talk about him. And he still brings all of us together. We're doing podcasts about him. He would have loved this.
And it's keeping his name alive.
Yeah.
And his legacy. We'll be moving on, and hopefully it continues.
Yeah, we're still talking about this in another 30 years.
And now we're carrying on your legacy because you're part of that legacy. So, you know, it's...
Oh, yes, thank you.
That's right. There's only one Audrey Golden.
That's right.
Just as he did with Carolyn, Bob gave Audrey a keepsake. Something special to remember him by.
I'd have an open house on a Sunday, and he would come and demonstrate, and he would leave the painting with me. And then he wrote on the back of it, so it's even more special that I was a friend. And I tell my kids, just make sure you take care of this painting. So,
how much you want for it? I'll give you $40.
Yeah. No.
Isn't she fantastic? I told you you'd love her. From all of us here, we'd like to wish you happy painting. God bless.
The Bob Ross universe is real, populated by folks who were touched and inspired by a happy TV painter. And whether it was Bob himself, the spirit of Bob, the idea of him, a lot of these folks found common ground with each other. They don't just love Bob. They don't just cherish their memories of time spent with him. They truly want to continue his legacy, spread his positivity, and ride the wave of his joy. The old clock on the beach tells me we've got a finished podcast episode. I want to thank my guests, Tim Ernesty, Vance Orr, Carolyn Saletto, and Audrey Golden. This happy little episode was produced with help from James Shapiro at Jansen Media and mixed by digital sound and video of Daytona Beach, Florida. And a big ol' happy hug to the man in the motorhome, Bob Ross. Bob, you want to get some Grand Slam breakfast at Denny's?
Think that rascal's not hungry? He's something else.
Support your local public television station. Say thanks for giving us Bob Ross and the joy of painting. Come on and show us your paintings. Use hashtag PaintLikeBobRoss. Bob Ross certified instructors, they're the only ones that know how to teach you Bob's world famous painting method. Don't settle for second best. Find the local CRI at BobRoss.com and then click Take a Class. Got your own Bob Ross story to tell? Leave us a message at 866-FANBRUSH or send us an email at podcast@BobRoss.com. Follow us on Facebook at The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross. I'm Ron Scalzo. The Joy of Bob Ross is written and produced by me, Ron Scalzo, in partnership with Bob Ross, Inc. Bob Ross name and images are registered trademarks of Bob Ross, Inc.